Let's go back into last week just for a minute, Mark chapter 4. Now, I said something in the middle of my message last week that I really didn't know. I just threw it out there while I was preaching, and I said, hey, that was pretty good. Sometime the Holy Ghost will take over, and he'll throw some things out there. And so I started looking into that. I said, boy, that'll preach right there. That'll preach, glory to God. Actually, I want you to start at Matthew 18. We're breaking into the grace of God, and that's huge. So Matthew chapter 18, Matthew 18, hallelujah. You know, every day you should be in faith. I'm not talking about, oh yeah, I'm in faith. I'm talking about in faith. You should have something targeted every single day. You should have a target of what you're believing God for through faith and grace. If you don't have a target, you're not in faith. You're just having faith to get through the day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a target where you're exercising faith on a God every day. You're exercising faith on a God-given desire. But I'm going to show you how to be effective. What he's teaching right now is just amazing. So anyway, we'll start with Matthew 18. We're going to get back in a little bit of last week. Jesus called, verse 2, a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's your salvation. Now we're going to find out how to be great in the kingdom. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Notice the word to use, humble. There is no grace apart from true humility. There's no grace. And that's not just being a doormat. That's not the kind of humility. God's looking for the humility of surrender. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God. To humble yourself as a little child. You think about a minute. He didn't say a child. He said a little child. How many of you have a little child? I'd say a little child is probably 6 and under, wouldn't you say? Maybe 5 and under. How many of you got a child that's 5 and under? Does that child 100% depend on you? Can that child do anything without you? Does that child do anything on its own except make a mess? It doesn't go feed itself. It doesn't cook for itself. It doesn't go buy groceries for itself. It's 100% dependent on the goodness of its parent. The parent don't feed, the child doesn't eat. That is what God is looking for in us, to become 100% dependent upon his grace with the absence of all human sufficiency, human effort. Because the fact of the matter is, when we become adults, there are things we can do. But when it comes to birthing the God-given promise for your life, you cannot do that. Now, I dare you to try it. How many of you ever tried to do that? What happened? Not good. No bueno. No bueno, señor. No bueno. Now you can go over to Mark chapter 4. Humbling yourself as a little child is easier said than done, because there are capacities within us. It's kind of amazing. God gave grace. He gave it as a free gift. In fact, there's a law that governs grace. It has to be received as a free gift, and it cannot be worked for. Romans tells us, if it be of grace, it cannot be of works. And if it be of works, it cannot be of grace. But the problem is, when we're young in the Lord, we don't know the difference. We really don't know the difference. We don't understand. It's not until the Word begins to bring the discernment and the wisdom to tell us the difference, to bring us to the state of a little child so we can receive the greatest gift God's ever given. The free gift of grace. And amazing. So we either humble ourselves to learn to receive it, but we don't really know what it is. We don't know what it can do for us. We have to get in position. You write this down. Grace has a position. Say, grace has a position. Mark 4, verse 30, we're going to look at the mustard seed faith again. Say, I am the garden, and I am only a garden. Now, Mark chapter 4, look at verse 14. It says, the sower sowed the word. Are you the sower? Are you the word? Because that word was the seed. Now, it's very interesting about that word. That's not just knowledge that you read from a book. It's not taking this knowledge and sowing it into your head. This word comes from the right hand of God. It's been dispatched. It's this living word. When he sows a word, he sows a living word. And the Bible says in that very chapter, the devil comes immediately for it. He's coming after it because he understands its power. But one of the reasons why we're not seeing the effects of this living word, because we don't have the full process yet, but in the next couple weeks, I'm going to give you some more of that process. You're going to be quite amazed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm not the sower, I'm not the word. So let's look at this parable in verse 30. He said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Still talking about the operation of the word. Still talking about what he was talking about in Mark chapter 4 up through the chapter there. Or with what comparison? It's like the grain of a mustard seed, smallest of seeds. But when it's sown in where? We started as dust. And we are still dust. We are earthen vessel. Bible says we have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. So if I am the earthen vessel or I am the garden, I like it called like that, I'm the garden. I have a responsibility as the garden to be the garden. Is that deep or what? So if the garden is not the sower and the garden is not the seed, the garden is the garden. So if I am going to exercise faith as the grain of a mustard seed being the garden, my number one function of faith is not to do. It's not to perform. It is to receive. I think we'd all be a lot greater if we'd all learn how to receive more. Imagine what you could be when you learn to receive. But God requires you receive grace as a free gift. How do I receive something I don't work for, but then how do I work? Well, it's quite simple. Peter worked all night. He didn't catch anything. Gave his boat over, welcomed grace into his boat, had grace sit down. Grace will change your priorities. First thing grace did, said, I'd like to use your vessel, your business, for my kingdom. But there are benefits. Let me preach out of your vessel. Give me. He didn't put him on the end of the boat. He had him set down. Grace sat down. Then he said, launch out into the deep. Peter wasn't in control anymore. The night before he was in control. Now somebody else is in control. Giving up control will require you to become a humble little child. And that's hard to do. How do you know? I've never had experience with that. I wouldn't know. Would I? That's hard to do. Sometimes as children, we have to take reins early in life. We have to take on responsibilities we weren't ready for. Sometimes circumstances, life puts you in a realm of responsibility where you have to take charge. I'm not talking about taking charge in business and doing that. I'm not talking about that. Peter was still in the boat. He wasn't sitting on a couch, but something else got in the boat. It's not until something else gets into the boat that takes us into the deep. Notice what he did. Use the same boat, the same net he used before. Same water. Same sea. But he let down his net with something else in him. And when he did, he caught a catch of fish that filled his boat and all his partner's boat. And there was a multiplication. There's an increase. And Peter had never seen anything like that. Now notice what happened. He still did labor. He said, he that entered into his rest has ceased from his own labors. Say, my own labors. He ceased from his labors. There's a labor with grace, which when grace gets in. But you got to recognize and need and want and depend. If not, we'll stay doing what we do. How many of you are happy, satisfied where you're at, don't want anything else, don't want to go anywhere else? Raise your hand. So we all want to move forward. How do we move forward? Now I'm asking us again. God, I'm still reviewing. Who has a God-ordained promise in them that's unfulfilled right now? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. I imagine if we got the entire body of Christ, we'd get the same thing. Who has tried to fulfill that promise? Some way, somehow, either substitute, circumvent, go around, counterfeit. How many of you have ever fell on your face? How many of you have ever run from your promise? How many of you know the promise goes with you when you run? I'm still here. I ran to Tulsa, I ran to Memphis, I was on my way to Florida running from something inside me. And it's still here. And that was 20 years ago, and it's still here. When is this going to get out here? One thing's for sure, it's not going to be according to my works. That's one of the processes grace will put you through. They recognize you can't do it. Try to be the sower, try to be the seed. That's how I come to the realization, I'm just a garden. But I'm going to be a good garden. I'm going to be a very good garden. I'm going to soak it up. I'm going to receive, receive. If you and I would get in receiving mode to get rid of the fear, get rid of the unworthiness. Most people can't even go to God and ask Him for anything because they don't know that He'll freely give it. They don't feel worthy enough to stand in front of Him and receive. I got to do something. I got to perform for you so you'll love me more. You cannot get God to love you any more than He already does. There's not anything you're going to do to earn that. You can't get grace to be attracted to you any more than it already is attracted to you. But it exists by law. In the law of grace, it must be received freely. There must be a dependency for it. You must want it. You must recognize your need for it. If you haven't got there yet, you're still operating in some of you. Those who want the great things of God are going to get it done by grace alone. Amen. Now, what I said last week, now notice it says this, it comes in as the grain of a mustard seed. Man, when I got the revelation, I don't have to believe God for the whole anymore. I just need to receive His seed. It's enough. The seed of His word is enough. The seed of grace is enough. See, it's enough. Now I want to look at Abraham a minute because I said this last week. I want you to go over, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. Do you know that Abraham birthed Isaac by grace? Even though you will never find that in the Old Testament? Do you know I will prove it to you he birthed him by grace, even though you will not see that word grace in the Old Testament? I'll show it to you. He did it by grace. There was not going to be any other way. Now God comes to him in chapter 12, and what's the first thing God does when he gets ready to do something? He sends his word. And in that word is the seed. He sends it to Abraham. He sends the packaged promise in a word. When he sends the packaged promise, he tells him, Abraham! Look at what he says in verse 12, verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them and curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. He reiterates that in chapter 13. He comes to him and he's packaging his promise through a spoken word. I can't tell you how important it is what you do with that word. I can't tell you how important it is that people's lives will depend upon your word coming to pass in the earth. Because that word is not for you, it's for nations. And in that promise, God was going to birth the heir. But he was going to have to go through some things, like we all do. He gets his word. Because I know none of you are going to do what Abraham did, although I've done that already 50,000 times. The first thing Abraham does is say, glory! But after time of carrying the word, carrying your promise, we get impatient. Now it's time to help God out a little bit. What did I say you are? The garden. Now let's watch Abraham actually take his faith and create a seed. He's going to now be the seed. Look, God, let me help out. Let me take over a little bit. God, I know that you put this in me. We're going to work it out here. Let me tell you something, how dangerous it is to work out an eternal promise inside you. The subtlety and the danger of doing that is beyond comprehension. That's why when God gives you a big promise, he keeps you small. Because if he gave you a big promise and made you big, you'd mess it up big. Because what gets up in your loins will come out of your loins. When Abraham decreed, oh, that Ishmael would live forever, God said he's going to have to live forever. I've given you the power to decree it. You might be thankful he keeps you small until you learn of his ways. God Almighty, if he had answered our prayer 17 years ago, whoa. Hey, listen, we all think we're ready. You might not say it, but why, I'm ready. The thing is, we don't know because we are calculating our readiness based on our own filtration system of what we think we know about God. And sometimes somebody a little further down the road said, you're not ready. What do you mean I'm not ready? Who are you to tell me I'm not ready? I know if I'm ready. Do you have any idea the gift of God? Sometimes we just have to be convinced other ways we're not ready, especially if you go try to do it yourself. I've never done that. I wouldn't know what that feels like. Go to chapter 15. Watch this. So Abraham's been carrying this a while, and he's getting a little discouraged. That's going to happen. You can write this down. The seed of promise does not need your help. Well, it kind of does. It needs you to receive grace on the behalf of it, but it does not need your sufficiency. It doesn't need you to go work it out. That's hard for A-type personalities. Ooh, do we have to struggle sometime? But when we get it right, glory to God, he can get things done. Genesis 15, verse 1, I feel the anointing. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision and said, fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, exceeding great reward. Now he's coming back to reiterate again. And Abraham said, Lord God, what are you going to give me? I go childless. This steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham, behold, to me you've given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Let's make him the seed. How about that? Let's take the steward. Let's make him the seed. Great idea, Abraham. Except for one thing, when it comes to God, it's got to be birthed by promise. Not with some human ingenuity of what you come up with this morning. How are you going to get that into the earth? That's what's wrong with the church. We have no revival because we have substituted. Hey, here's a seed, Lord. Looks like revival. It's a servant born in the house. Put him in there. Make him the heir. God said, he will not be thine heir. See how you do that? We try to position ourselves. He was doing it. Don't look so holy. It's the way the temperamental nature works things out because it has something that gnaws on them all day. I've got something from eternity inside me. It's been transferred from the kingdom of God. I don't know what to do with it because it never leaves me alone. It makes me feel like I'm someday Superman, and the other days I feel like I wish I never had it inside me. I don't know what to do to get this out here. By the show of hands, you don't either. Not many of us actually do. The only thing we know to do is wait. If you've been down the road, you can't do it. You're halfway there. How many of you know you can't do it? Oh, you're halfway there. I said halfway. So all I can do is wait. And wait. I said, Lord, I'm already on the Abraham plan here. Of 25 years, I don't want to go to the Moses 40 years. David got his in 13. Joseph got his in around 13 years preparation. You know, Abraham took 25 years because he got his promise 75. He birthed it at 100. Moses took 40 years for his preparation. Anybody want to be on the 40-year plan? Oh, brother. I used to say I didn't want the 20-year plan. I've already passed that one up. I said, Lord, are we still doing this? Can we get the show on the road? Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we were just facilitators? What is a facilitator? You just jump into what someone else's birth, jump right in and run with it. Facilitators don't have to birth anything. It's already been birthed. You're called to facilitate. Get in, jump in, drink of the wine, drink of the oil, run with it. Go to the Bible college to the man that birthed that anointing. And then run with it. You're off and running 2 or 3 years, 4 years, you're off. But you're carrying something else. So God said, no, Abraham, he's not going to be your heir. Well, that's chapter 15. Now you got chapter 16. You know what's next. Anybody want to know what's next? If Eleazar can't be the seed, let's just be the sower then. If I can't create a seed for you, God, I'll just be the sower. And Sarah's the one that came up with the idea. Go to chapter 16. I know you've heard this. Did I say Abraham birthed it by grace? You know how you're going to birth it? By grace. Why do you think we are on grace right now? Why do you think we wake up needing grace, wanting grace, receiving grace? Why do we think we're walking around grace, grace, and more grace? Walk through the door, grace, grace, and more grace. Why do you think we're doing that? Because we tried everything else. And we found the only thing that's going to make this happen is grace. Say grace, grace, and more grace. I just didn't wake up. I wasn't shouting that when I first got the promise. I was saying, me, me, and me is going to get it done. I had all this stuff going on inside. Launch this, launch this, launch this, launch this. We will have this thing done, Lord. Had 35 programs. This department, that department, that department, that department. I'm like, Lord said, yep, you birthed all that. How you like all that? How you like the fruit of your labors? Fires in 17 of the departments. Had full-time fire hoses. Birthed it, putting it out. While they were putting that one out, I'm over here birthing another one because I had something inside me. I didn't know what to do, so I just, whatever. Bring the next guy in. Bring somebody in your anointed preach. I don't care what's going to happen 6 months from now. Just preach now. The guy turns into a devil 6 months later. I said, how can that devil be anointed? He was a wolf that had some anointing on him. I didn't see the wolf. I saw the anointing. We're really not that smart. You just kind of figure it out after a while. 17 fires burning out. We are full-time firemen putting out fires. I'm like, God, the devil, he's crazy in here. He said, no, you're birthing every one of those. You're setting them in motion, setting them in motion, setting them in motion. Give me something else to set in motion. Why? I'm trying to produce what's inside of me, and I'm making a big mess of it. There's nobody probably on this planet that's made a bigger mess than I did, I'll tell you that. Everybody's going, amen, hallelujah. We're going to get it right. Okay, go to chapter 16. Look at verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old. That'll tell you something. He got the promise at 75. He's 11 years into the promise, and he is very frustrated. Not only is he frustrated, everybody around him is frustrated. Sarah's frustrated. Say, would you stop talking about that child? I'll help you out right now. That's what she does. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, verse 1, bare him no children. She had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Do you know, all they did was live in a desert. Sarah had to listen to Abraham every day. God told me my descendants be the stars of the heaven. Look, the stars during the day. All the sand, my descendants be the sand of the seashore. Sarah, God's going to give me a son. I can't bear a son. Stop talking about it. Sarah, God just spoke to me. My descendants, Anna has to do this with me. Sometimes she goes, oh, that's good. That's good, darling. That's good. Yeah, that's real good. I said, would you repeat after me what I just said? Yeah. You were talking about grace, darling. Grace, yeah, grace. It's good stuff, isn't it? I now demand undivided attention. I said, put that cell phone down. I have something very good to say. I made the mistake of sharing heavy revelation with my friend Mike Fuller while he was cooking. When Michael Fuller is cooking food, if he has food anywhere in the vicinity, a 10-foot vicinity of him, do not talk to him. He cannot hear you. I don't care if it was an angel. He cannot hear it. That's for you, Michael. Bless you. Verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go get my maid. Go get her, Abraham. That it may be that we're going to obtain the child. We're going to obtain the heir by her. We're going to get us an heir one way or another. Abraham, you be the sower. Go get the maid. You be the sower. Forget about it. She's going to bear the heir. Well, they did. He did, she did, and he did, and there comes Ishmael. You know, in the book of Galatians, the Bible says Abraham had two sons. Now, this is going to be a revelation for you. Every one of you have capacity for two sons. You got a capacity to birth in the flesh. You got a capacity to birth in spirit. Nobody's immune from that. The problem is the birth and the spirit. You got to do it God's way, and you're going to have to get accumulated knowledge fast. You have to get the wisdom of God fast. Sometime you're going to get the wisdom to outrun, or the Ishmael's going to show up. How many of you had an Ishmael experience? Raise your hand. Pretty painful, isn't it? Sometime it never wants to die. It keeps multiplying. God said, Abraham, you are a garden. I just want a birth from your loins. I've given this to you by promise. It's going to birth by promise, and there is no other way. Now, you want to keep working it out? He's 86. I'll see you in 14 years. Actually, 13. He comes to him in 99. I'll see you in 13 years. Anybody ever been to do a dry spell after your Ishmael? God said, I'll see you back. I'll check it back after 13 years. 13 years. That's a long time. He'll be done when I show to him. 99 years old, God comes back to him. Said, we're ready, Abraham. I'm ready. You ready? I'm ready. You ready, Abraham? I'm going to bring a son from your loins and from Sarah. And Abraham fell on the ground and started laughing. Do you know he did that? Oh, can a man that's 99 years old give birth and a wife that's 90 years old give birth? And he laughed. And he was 1 year away from his promise. Actually, that laughter was semi-good and semi-bad. The good part of it was that Abraham finally come to the realization, I can't do this, God. You are asking somebody to give birth out of a dead womb. He was now ready to be a recipient for grace. Ready, say ready, to be a recipient for grace. Because now God gave him a commandment. Now that you're dead and her womb is dead and your birthing faculties are dead, I command you to give birth. Now what are you going to do? Ever get into a situation that's out of your control? You're in a good situation. Then I say out of your control? Why? Because you might have to become a little child again. Be 100% dependent upon. I can imagine what Abraham did in that year. So how do you know he got a hold of grace? I know he birthed by grace. Somehow, between the time he rolled over and was laughing and Sarah laughed, God said, I'll name your child laughter. Abraham found grace. Say, Abraham found grace. And grace did what Abraham could not do in 25 years. Grace did it in 1 year. Did you hear that? What Abraham could not do in 25 years, grace did, actually less than one, because he was 99 when God spoke to him and they gave birth at 100. Grace did it. How do you know grace did it? I'm so glad you asked that. Go to Romans chapter 4. Abraham found grace. We all do. If you're waking up every day and you've come to a place you simply cannot live without grace, you're ready. If you wake up every day and you can live without grace, it's because you can. But I can tell you, if you wake up every day with a promise unfulfilled and you realize there's no other way that I'm going to fulfill this promise outside of receiving grace into my garden, like Mary, when Gabriel came and spoke to her, be unto me according to your word, he spoke the word into her. But then she had to wait for the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. The overshadowing of the Holy Ghost bringing the conception, I call it the double conception. You conceive by his word. Right now, lift your hands. Father, I receive your grace. I receive the free gift. I'm worthy to receive it because I've been justified by grace. And you give grace for grace of your fullness, Lord. We're all receiving grace for grace. You give us grace to receive grace. Amen. Now listen, if Abraham received grace for his promise, we're going to receive grace for our promise. Amen? Romans 4, verse 2. If Abraham were justified by his works, we saw his works, didn't get him anywhere. He hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God was not about to let Abraham birth that thing on his own. Through his own ingenuity, his own sufficiency, he was going to have to do it God's way. He was going to birth it by promise. And he was going to have to birth that promise God's way. And it's going to require grace and faith to do it. Say grace and faith. How do you know? Because he says right there, he said the reward was not reckoned of grace. So he's going to talk about that reckon. The next time you hear that word reckon is verse 9. So you've dropped down in verse 9. He's going to pick up what he was saying. He said, cometh his blessings then upon the circumcision only or upon the uncircumcision? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. So we know when he said in verse 4, to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, we know he was talking about Abraham. The reward was reckoned not of works, but by grace. Grace birthed Isaac. Abraham found grace to birth Isaac. There was no other way. It wasn't going to be any other way. Everyone say hallelujah. Verse 16, he sums it up. I like this. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be grace, that it might be by grace. Say, it is of faith that it might be by grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which was of the law, but that which was the faith of Abraham, the father of all. Abraham birthed Isaac by grace and faith. Faith and say faith and grace. Faith and grace. We're going to have to get familiar with faith and grace if we're going to be productive in the kingdom of God. Amen. The Bible says, great grace, grace. He gives you grace for grace. Now, to close with this, it's super important. What's you're carrying? Or what you're carrying is what you will decree. What you're carrying is what you will decree. You cannot decree what you do not carry. You can confess what you don't carry. And you can want it, but you cannot decree what you do not carry. And the living word that abides in you cannot live in you if you're not abiding in the vine. That's heavy. You didn't even know what I just said. How many of you ever carried a promise and gotten discouraged and gotten away from the Lord? You may not be fully backslidden, but you're not really connected with Him. What happens to the promise? Nobody in that state has the promise living, dwelling, breathing, and life. Bum, bum. Pom, 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 pom. The promise goes dormant. It does what you do. You move away from the vine, the promise goes dormant. You move close to the Lord, guess what comes alive? The promise comes alive. Ever notice the closer you get to the Lord, your promise comes alive. Your heart comes alive. The promise comes alive. It took me years to realize that. I didn't know why the enemy, he's not that he hates you. He hates what's inside you. He's definitely afraid that you'll understand how to get that out into the earth. What lives inside you can be decreed. But if it's not living inside you, you will have no power to decree. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If my words abide in you while you abide in me, it takes both of those. You can ask what you will, it'll be done for you. If you don't, it'll all go dormant. Church is full of dormant people. Not this church, praise God. I'm going to teach you the power of decree. The way He's showing it, it is amazing. I'm going to teach you not to try to decree something out here. You're going to decree from within here. You're going to decree from what you carry. From a living word inside you. We'll leave it at that. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Power decree is going to loose your word in the earth. The Holy Ghost is going to manifest it. It's a whole lot to learn there. Trust me. But that's where we're going. The power to speak. I'm not talking about confession. I'm talking about decree. You decree from a law that's been established in your heart that come from the kingdom of God. If it's not established in you, it will not be established through you. You'll have power in your words if something lives inside you and you decree from what's alive in you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.